WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is Xbox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where networks were cool before they were online. Somehow. It's the power of Tim Stein. We're still figuring it out. Good evening. I am Omega, be all and all of our little network. Joining me, we have Mace.
Yeah, there's going to be next to no people listening to us because CM Punk is on The Talking Dead right now.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. So let's take it easy.
I really don't give a shit about Walking Dead, so fuck it.
Rather you take a shot?
tell you what, I might need one after this week. I swear to God, dude, if I see one more box full of bubble wrap, I will... something in me will burst.
But that's what you do with the bubble wrap, though. The bubble wrap's off the pond.
Except I need the bubble wrap. I need it intact. Point.
That is true. But then the good side, you get more Legos.
We're not going to talk about that addiction tonight. Speaking of addiction, the reason we are 10 minutes late, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, I'm back. I've moved into my new place, and I'm pretty much all squared away. I've got internet, which is really wild. That's amazing. It only took 2 weeks to get
it for this time.
No, the internet I've always paid for. Now, let's get this right. It took 2 weeks to get it hooked up properly and working. Gotta love efficiency, I'll tell you.
Is it good internet this time?
It is very good internet, thank you very much.
Alright, so it's not hooked up through the Atari this time.
Oh, dude, flashback. Whoa, Atari?
I was reminded of the Atari today, it's just in my head.
Oh my god, the Atari. Oh, fuck. The best Atari game was Asteroids.
Well, Asteroids is a pretty hard game to fuck up.
I've known people who could do it.
Do you realize there were porn games on the Atari?
Porn?
No. Yeah.
Custer's Lost Stand.
Yeah.
How is that porn?
The goal is to get Custer, who is naked with a boner, across the screen, dodging arrows and whatnot, to rape an Indian against a cactus.
Okay.
For Atari.
And you played the game how many times?
Thankfully, none. I never want to be so hard up that I'm looking at pixel dicks.
Pixel dicks. That's a new
pixel
one.
Pixel dicks. They're pixel tits, too. It's bizarre.
If you want to see pixelated tits, just turn into TMZ at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That would require turning on TMZ.
Yeah, that's, you know, two strikes against you right there.
Yeah, that'd kill any of the arousal.
You realize you bringing up Atari porn. Okay, Atari I understand, but you even talking about any form of porn is just bizarro land. It really is.
Clearly, you're not in on card nights anymore.
Not lately, no. I just want to say, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, we now have a Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. Check us out on Facebook if you have not liked it yet. Like it now. Wrestle Talk Radio on Facebook.
We're getting there. We're almost up to date.
Slowly but surely. Very slowly, very surely. So what have I missed the last 2.5 weeks because I was moving?
Let's see. What was there?
I heard there was some wrestling, and then there was some more wrestling. Yeah. There was like a pay-per-view that nobody watched, and then there was some more wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan's relevant again, slightly.
Now, come on. Don't go get too carried away. Hulk Hogan is...
Okay. He's here.
Hulk Hogan is back in the WWE. He's back home, brother. Which, by the way, since his return, will become the most overused word on Monday nights. And I'm thinking we got to start a new drinking game, but I'm not exactly sure which way to go. Do we get everybody watching Raw to take a shot whenever they hear the word brother, or whenever there's a CM Punk chant coming out of the crowd?
You're going to be very sober if you're doing either. At the moment.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan...
Because surprisingly, Hogan sort of stopped with the brother. He stopped with that, and the CM Punk chants are pretty much going to die out over the next couple of weeks.
Well, I don't know. They might come back in full force tomorrow because of Talking Dead tonight. And I'll tell you, I'm boycotting this edition of Talking Dead. I'll just put that out there right now.
You walked out on it.
I walked out on it. I was very unhappy because I didn't get my way, so...
Taking my ball and going home, even though it's technically not my ball.
There you go. That's more or less what I'm trying to get at. Anyway, yeah, why don't we just dive right into it and check out everybody's win and fail this week. Mace, what was your win for the week that was?
Can we just everybody agree on this one is going to be the win for just about everybody who watched Raw this week was the Occupy Raw segment.
That's your win. Why was that your win?
Because after... an insanely destructive Raw the previous week before in Chicago, where WWE sent out a very loud and clear message saying, fuck you, fans. They come back and they pull a complete 180 with the Occupy Raw segment and actually got people to go, hey, WrestleMania might actually be worth getting now.
Okay. What about you, Omega?
Let's see. Well, yeah, trying to avoid the obvious one that's actually a full segment. So, and withholding my thoughts until then. For me, it's probably going to be the confrontation between Undertaker and Heyman.
Okay. So you figure that's your win.
That is my win. This is aside from, okay, it's Paul Heyman with a microphone. You've already got me interested.
Uh-huh. You had me at hello. My name is Paul Heyman.
Basically, my name is Paul Heyman. I'm all ears.
There you go. Jerry Maguire shots. All right. All right. Well, that's fair. I can understand that. I gotta side with Mace. My hands down winner for last week was the Occupy segment. I mean, it was genius. It was an absolutely just the right thing to do, just the right time. They couldn't have planned it better, bringing it out when they brought it out. And
assuming they planned it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that. In just a
see,
second.
This is why I didn't pick it, because it would be my win too. But hey, we have a whole segment devoted to it.
So, well, you can still pick it, even though we're going to talk about it. You're allowed to. So, do you want to change, or are you sticking
no.
with the Heyman? Okay, you're going to stick with Paul.
No,
no?
I'm not giving it away for free, Tim.
Okay.
Well, you gotta wait for it.
There you go.
I'll do it when I feel like doing it.
I see. Okay. Well, while you're at it, grow sideburns like Wolverine and do your hair like Logan. and walk around thinking that, you know, you're a little bit more than you really are.
Sweet. I always wanted to be Hugh Jackman.
There you go. There's a bad joke in there somewhere, but I'm not going to go there.
Hey, I'd be all for Omega on stage singing Oklahoma, okay?
That would be worth pictures. Definitely would be worth pictures. Yeah, but I've got a secondary win, and that would be The Shield deciding on Friday Night SmackDown to not back corporate Kane and not get involved in the match against Big Show. That would be my other one, and we'll get into that one a little bit later on. What's your fail for this week, Omega?
Sheamus versus Christian for the umpteenth time.
Okay.
It seems like they have such little idea what to do with either one that they're just sticking them with each other over and over until, I don't know, we figure out something else. But it's absolutely decimating Christian or whatever credibility he ever had left.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the point is other than, I don't know, let the ginger beat up the Canadian? I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Mace, what about you? Your fail.
I'm trying to decide. I have two. I don't know which one I despised worse, whether it was the John Cena / Bray Wyatt hijacking of the announcement of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal just to get Cena and Hogan in the same area,
mm-hmm.
or the entire third hour of Raw.
Whoa.
Because let's face it, after the Occupy Raw segment, the rest of the show just felt shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be hard to follow that something like that up. They should have left that after the main event.
This is why you wait.
See, I'm sitting here going over my Raw thoughts on Raw column that I posted on WildTalkRadio.com that people should go and have a read of.
You whore. And
Sheldon.
Yes, coming from the two masters of whoring. Thank you very much.
Like says, it's like you don't give it away.
Exactly. It's like I'm looking down. It's like how do you follow up what was the biggest segment on Raw with Christian and Sheamus, an Alexander Rusev segment, mm-hmm. and a main event that was so boring that I fell asleep.
Okay. So you're going with both of those, and you're not exactly sure which one is the bigger disappointment.
I don't know which one. Yeah, I don't know which one is the bigger disappointment out of the two.
Well, considering that your fail is an entire hour of the show, don't you think by default that would be number one?
You'd think that, but at the same time, you take something. you take something as a nice of a tribute as the Andre the Giant Battle Royal idea. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Then turning it into a segment between Cena and Bray Wyatt for the express permission of when Cena has his match, he's got Hogan in his corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only reason to get those two in the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it just felt so disjointed and very forced.
Okay.
And personally, I was annoyed that they had to spend the rest of the night trying to recover the fact that they made the announcement of the Battle Royal because it got so overshadowed by the feud.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. This is going to be a bit of a poser for a few people because it ties right in with my win, but my fail was Triple H this past week.
Why?
Because he just did not come across the way I felt he should have. For that entire segment, and it was like, when was the last time you ever saw a Triple H tongue-tied and searching for something to say? I mean, this is the leader of DX. This is the guy that humiliated the living shit out of Vince McMahon, along with Shawn Michaels, for years in WWE.
And about 13 sets of writers ago.
Yeah, and 13 sets of writers ago. But he just came across as, I don't know, the best way I can put it is wooden. Now, had that been Vince McMahon.
Stephanie sucked all the life out of him. She was the more animated one.
Yeah.
And doing a very good Vicky Guerrero impression, I must admit.
And this is... This just furthers my opinion that Triple H can't carry anybody. He has to be carried. He can have a good match with a good worker, but he can't, you know, make somebody bad look good.
I don't know. I was listening to Mace. I was listening to Stephanie. I was getting more Rita Repulsa than anything.
Did you see that video I linked to you, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Good.
What are you guys, talking in code or something?
We're talking nerd talk. You don't understand.
Apparently not. Okay, I'm a geek, not a nerd. There's a difference. Look it up. Google it. But yeah, no, it's just Triple H. It just it did not sell for me. It was really, really lame in comparison to what was being presented with the Occupy segment and Daniel Bryan and such. And I think that if Triple H actually had some writers instead of relying on his own ass to come up with this shit, which is what it felt like. It might have come over better. So that's my fail for the week.
I would have also put it down to Triple H calling out a whole two security guards.
The only security in the building.
Well, that's two the other guys. Thing. What the hell? I mean, before, in previous times we've seen security called out, you got 20 guys bum rushing the ring just to move one guy out. And then when you get like 100 people surrounding the ring, he only sends out two.
Like, even if they sent out like 8 or 9, they still would have looked hideously outmatched.
Well, you can stop them halfway down the ring like these guys, like the two guys did, and they could turn and look at Triple H and just stand there shaking their heads, all 8 of them. And what's Triple H going to do against 8 guys as opposed to yelling his, you know, face off at 2 guys? You know, and so, yeah, so the whole corporate side of Occupy was my big fail for the week.
I'm wondering how poor Damian Sandow had anything to do with that.
Good old Damian Sandow.
Apparently the guy had a match that got completely canceled.
Well, he wound up paying for it on Friday Night SmackDown, for those of you who did see it. So... But speaking of Occupy, I said it earlier. It's in the notes. It was genius. It was fantastic. How long did you figure that they had planned that kind of a segment out?
A week.
A week
to 2 weeks.
Really?
I'll give it a week to 2.
So did you like Occupy Raw?
Yeah.
How do you figure they came up with that idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on, Omega.
Take the sarcastic approach, please.
Yeah, okay. You know, it might have had something to do with this little Twitter thing that popped up not long before the Raw in Chicago. You know, the whole, let's hijack Raw. You know, it might have come from that. I just have a small inkling that it might have come from that.
Yeah.
Let's see.
This segment was one big-ass middle finger, partially to that little attempt, and then another one to CM Punk.
A little bit of, okay. Now, here we got a guy basically taking on two separate storylines at once because CM Punk took off, and he's running with it, and he's now even more over than he was at Christmas time, which is a feat in itself. Because it's supposed to be CM Punk versus Triple H. We've heard this ad infinitum, basically even before Punk walked out.
Yeah.
And Punk didn't want to do that angle.
Which is too bad, because if he had foreseen the failure and the absolute rejection of Dave Batista's return, that probably would have been his spot, making the whole thing a triple threat at Mania.
Well, here I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I'm going to tell you right now, Daniel Bryan, in my opinion, was slated to wind up being the third man ever since they discovered that Batista was sucking wind with the crowd.
Punk's position would have been Daniel Bryan, what he's got now, the whole against Triple H deal. That's where it would have stopped. He wouldn't have gotten the third man at the main event.
The original plan for Bryan was Sheamus. It was supposed to be the exorcising the demon of the 17-second loss. But, of course, that didn't pan out in the slightest.
Well, that's also a very dumb thing. Nobody cares about that anymore.
Well, yeah. that was the thing. But keep in mind, you know, before all this, before they're kind of, you know, had their back against the wall, no one was really buying into Bryan in the first place. I mean, at least backstage, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was, you know, this was back when he was floundering around with the Wyatts, with, you know, with that storyline that got half-assed.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like the more I go over that segment in my head and stuff, it does sound like we said 1 to 2 weeks maximum that they had this idea. And I reckon that's probably over the last couple of weeks that the whole company's just turned around and gone, oh shit, we're in a real jam here. How the fuck do we get out of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, Raw was also the tipping point because, you know, you know, CM Punk didn't show up, even though it was in Chicago. And the guy might have been able to walk to the goddamn arena. So now you throw in personal insult along with everything else.
Yeah. Well, not so much insult as just a really heavy-handed shot, right? Is there a difference?
Oh, and not in this case, really.
Okay.
Because
one begets the other.
Yeah, essentially.
Fair enough. I can live with that, yeah. So, basically...
Still could have done without Stephanie shrieking like a fucking banshee, though.
Well... You were saying that she was doing her best Vicky Guerrero impersonation?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it just me, or has Vicky Guerrero shrieked the fuck of a lot less since Stephanie's return to TV?
She's shown up a lot less.
Yeah, I think she's off doing some sort of college course or something.
Seymour sightings of Zack Ryder.
Now that's
that's actually scary. We've seen more Zack Ryder this year than we have in the last 2 years,
which is not necessarily a bad thing if you're a Zack Ryder fan.
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
No. I don't know. I hate to admit, but there's something about Stephanie that it almost works for me that she kind of goes from this very.
Sorry.
No, I'm serious. Like, she goes for this very business tone of voice, you know, very professional, and then goes completely she-demon.
Absolutely woman ate shit.
But, yeah, it's something about that, you know, for the, authority, you know, for the heel authority figure kind of works. And clearly, if you're complaining about Stephanie, you know, screeching into the microphone now, you clearly do not remember her screeching during the Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah, I do. luckily I'm now...
The Attitude Era remembers that.
Yeah, that's the kind of shit where you don't keep the TV near anything glass.
Okay, go ahead, Mace.
Yeah, luckily I'm at the point now, thankfully, my cable provider smartened the fuck up and put Raw on live. So now I'm not actually wearing headphones when she shrieks and my ears have stopped bleeding.
At least you got the TV remote handy and you can kill the volume.
Exactly. The mute button works really well.
Yeah. Well, last Monday, I think she woke the baby up, the family that lives upstairs from me. The thing was, I had the TV at like level six out of 50.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually.
So, yeah. So now with them doing this Occupy movement, Daniel Bryan saying, look, Triple H, fight me, yeah, coward. And then if I beat you, put me in the main event at WrestleMania. How does that work at bringing back fans who have maybe temporarily abandoned the product because they're pissed off because they're not getting what they want.
It's probably going to bring some of them back.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get the ones who will go, oh, cool, we're finally going to get Daniel Bryan in the main event at WrestleMania. This is what we've been after. I'm now satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the other ones that are going to sit there and go, okay, now Daniel Bryan's in the main event. How are they going to screw him out of it this time?
That's the hard thing. You've got some that are... You've still got the people who see him as the internet darling. You've still got, you know, the marks that are going to be very thrilled at this because the writing is on the wall. Because you've got... Otherwise, you've got two heels that, you know, one no one cares about. The other, the audience is insulted at the fact that he's getting, you know, the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's obvious, you know, Daniel Bryan's going to win. It's going to become a triple threat. And if you're a mark that's been wanting this to happen, that you've been wanting Daniel Bryan to get the push he deserves, this is pretty much it. Now, you also have those jaded fans that Mace mentioned. You're always going to have those when it comes to Daniel Bryan, unfortunately, because that's just how often they've done it. But at the same time, you know, it's the end of WWE's calendar year. It's the main event, WrestleMania 30. Are you really going to end it on such a bad note to fuck over the darling of the company? Again, you will have people rioting in that building.
Yeah.
If they pull something like that.
Well, let's just say they made Daniel Bryan the new generation face of the company, and you still have, I can't believe I'm about to use this expression for John Cena, old school, mainstay, if you will.
Been around a decade.
Because he has been around that long. He's like the veteran now, believe it or not. John Cena, the veteran. Oh, my God. Anyway, you give him the title belt at WrestleMania 30. And let's see what happens with the company through, you know, past SummerSlam. Is that because of the way they've done it here and what's happened leading up to WrestleMania 30? Is that going to make Daniel Bryan, quote unquote, more over than if he had won the belt at, I don't know, say Royal Rumble or something?
Well, for starters, I'm not sure how Daniel Bryan gets any more over than he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So just get that out of the way immediately. If this is how it works out, then there is more meaning to it. Because, you know, if it happens at Mania, it's going to be such an enormous deal. It's the way it's being written, the way it's played out, whatever stars align to make CM Punk disgruntled and Batista hated at the same time that lets Bryan kind of walk into this position.
You want to make Batista hated, like the most hated person in the company? Keep him around.
He pretty much is right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you have to do anything to make that happen, Omega.
Well, you keep in mind, like, WWE hedged their bets on Batista coming back as kind of the conquering hero that's going to go to WrestleMania and put down the face of the company that no one likes. Mm-hmm. And the fans shit on him.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I mean. Like, that's what they were counting on. That's what it was supposed to be about. That's not how it worked out.
Nope.
So between that and the Punk walking out legitimately this time,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything just kind of falls right in place for Daniel Bryan to kind of take this position.
Now, when I said get him more over, that's not exactly that's a misnomer. To clarify, it should be like more firmly entrenched would be a better descriptor. You know what I mean?
The only way to sort of make Bryan more entrenched as like the face of the WWE moving forward from WrestleMania is to hire somebody as a better designer in the merchandise department. Because his t-shirts are ugly.
Yeah, but they're number two in sales.
What is wrong with the marketing department? Did you not see the Jester koozies?
I didn't see no Jester koozie.
They have Jester koozies. They have koozies for your drink with little bells on it.
I don't want bells on my martini.
You don't want your beer can to jingle at you?
I don't need jingle cans. No. Besides, that's not the kind of cans I want to see jingle.
Oh, my God, that is terrible.
Oh, I forgot about the top hat.
Which that, link? Is that the first or the second one?
Blame on the top hat's the second one. That one we can pretty much blame on it being in New Orleans. So
there are a lot of Jesters in New Orleans.
No, they're going off the whole Mardi Gras theme.
Like, it literally looks like he crushed one of Santa's elves with a beer can or something.
I'm waiting for the reduced version of the top hat, and they put it on The Undertaker this year at WrestleMania.
God, no. $10 for a Jester koozie? Are you kidding?
Because it's WrestleMania.
Hey, bells aren't cheap, okay?
Oh, I could make that for $2, and it would almost look good.
Yeah, how are you going to get the WrestleMania logo on there?
I have a printer.
Oh, thank God. My bubble jet will handle this.
Hey, it's inkjet. It'll print on cloth. I was hoping it would print on CDs, but no such luck. Anyway, that's life lesson.
Mind you, while we're having a quick sort of jab at the merchandise department, okay, we've seen how bad it gets with, like, the Jester koozie and all that type of stuff. Then all of a sudden you've got Cesaro's t-shirt. Which looks fucking spectacular. Why can't that person be in charge of doing Daniel Bryan's merchandise?
As I wait for my computer to work to call up the t-shirt here.
It looks like it came off the side of someone's van.
Yeah, that looks like it's sitting on the front of or on the side of a van. Now, all it has to say on the bottom, right under the eagle, is live free or die. And it's total Americana.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
okay,
that's
you
like
want to?
That's like a Toby Keith album cover.
Mm-hmm. There you go, Mace. Now you know who to blame.
I've never been a fan of the Bellas. Period. just I have not been a fan of them since day one.
Nothing huge, no big deal. It's just the Bella twins.
How about we just come up with merchandise for Brian that requires actual Photoshop?
Yeah, you better hope they don't listen live, fucker.
Like, I could do this shit in Notepad.
Maybe they did. No, it would have to be WordPad, not Notepad.
No, seriously. Like, the Join the Movement shirt, I could do a Notepad.
Okay. Well, they need some more creativity happening there. But when you're Daniel Bryan, you can do whatever you want, because you are the most over person in the company.
I guess so.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe. So, yeah, anyway, that being said, we're going to take our first time out of the evening. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter, WTR at WTR Sunday Night. Check out our new Facebook page, just at facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. And make sure that you like it. We'll be back on the other side of this commercial break talking about the Shield. And the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Those are two things coming up right after this.
Celebrating 10 years of Wrestle Talk Radio.
You know what? As of right now, the second anniversary show of WTR Sunday Night is a curse-free edition. No foul words allowed.
Come on.
No, we're going to try this and see how long we can go without saying words like...
Dave or Dave.
I'm a
what I was thinking.
Yeah, but it worked perfectly. That's a curse word.
I was thinking Pat Patterson, but somehow Dave came up. Oh, boy. So let's just add the word Dave, too.
Yeah, and let's do that.
Wait a second. You were going to say Pat Patterson, but Dave came out? What, did he stretch him?
I don't know.
All right. Well,
I got nothing.
What was that, JJ?
What was that? Dave came out of Pat Patterson? What?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out, what the hell Harmony was talking about. What is it? What is in that tube of rolled up paper that you happen to be smoking? Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going to change the subject really quick because it's getting uncomfortable up in this bitch.
Hey, no curse words.
Fuck, Tim, come on.
Well, there goes that strategy. Blown apart in 2 seconds.
Don't tell me not to cut.
Tune into the live special. Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
About time this fucker called in. Hi, Mace.
Hey, I was on another phone call. Fuck you.
Oh, hey, fucker.
And fuck you, Hong, let's count them up. It's Rocks, 1, fuck you. Will, that's 2, fuck you. Tim, fuck you. Omega, fuck you. Lindsay, fuck you. Subway, fuck you.
Hey, Mace.
It was really fucked. Can I now have a kitten?
I was just going to offer everybody a cigarette, but whatever.
At least Mace remembers me when he runs down a list.
Yeah, fuck off. Fuck you.
I can barely remember yesterday, Tim.
Oh, fuck, can you guys call me?
God, are you getting Tim's dino?
Yeah, I'm going to hit you, Will, but not before Mace does.
It's basically descended into like a circular roast.
Yeah, it's just another jerk-off podcast. Ask Mace.
Like, all of a sudden it popped up, and here's the whole gang, and I didn't have time to even pull up my pants while I was holding my dick.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I have been sent by TJ Omega, as he is one told me that my name and multiple orgasms should not be mentioned in the same sentence again, even though I was going to offer to have one to try to get the ratings up.
Celebrating 10 years of WrestleTalk Radio.
Like our good buddy Homicide just said, hey man, you better believe the hype, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
The very first show of 2006. Thank you all, everybody, for joining us on this most monumental of days. January the 1st, where Santa Claus goes and delivers his toys to the girls and boys around the world.
That was a week ago.
What?
That was a week ago.
What was a week ago?
Santa delivering his toys.
A week ago?
Mm-hmm.
But we entered a new year a week ago.
Okay.
Bad jokes go worse.
Obviously, we're not going to break that tradition in 2006.
Well, that would be a bad tradition to break. I mean, I wouldn't be me if I didn't crack a bad joke. Hey, you know.
But even bad jokes are supposed to be fun.
Who said? That's why they're bad.
Tune into the live special Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We find the defendants guilty.
This is Wildcat Chris Harris of America's Most Wanted. You're listening to WTR Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday nights, and if you don't like it, sorry about your damn luck.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Pointed out during the break in the Skype chat, it's 316. That's right, it's Austin-themed Wrestle Talk Radio. Have you guys noticed that the producer is playing some stuff that sounds kind of dated from, like, years and years and years ago?
Well, I'm going to resist the joke you've set up for.
I'm not setting up for a joke.
No, he's setting up for a plug.
There you go. See, Mace got it. Omega, you just keep going the wrong way. What are you thinking? March 2014.
So, yes.
Yeah, March 2014 marks the 10th year that Wrestle Talk Radio has been doing webcasting. And coming up in a couple of weeks, we're actually going to have a special 10th anniversary special. As opposed to a normal 10th anniversary special. So what's going to make it special? I don't know yet. Oh, that's next week. That's right. Got a whole 6 days to plan it. So, you know.
Good to see you're on the ball, Tim. We've only been talking about it for like 10 days.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. But I, for some reason, thought it was last week still. The day. But there's more time in
March.
Didn't
we just start this with you being with a clip of you being confused about what week it was?
And that was 2006.
That was way back in 2006, so that should just let you know things don't change that much.
Nope.
Yeah, I've been telling bad jokes ever since 2005, so.
2004, get it right.
Well, no, I've been telling bad jokes since 2005.
Oh, so
I wasn't telling bad jokes in 2004.
All right, so if you really want to know good Tim Stein jokes, listen to the archives of 2004, and, well, sadly, we don't have any.
Yeah, if we could find them. We were able to recover some classic episodes of Wrestle Talk Radio that are going to be up on the website that is currently under construction and will be available very soon, so stay tuned for news on that, by the way. But, yeah. All that fun stuff coming up this month. But for tonight, why don't we talk about the Wyatts versus the Shield? Because, guys, I think this is just another nugget of gold the WWE has basically stumbled upon in addition to Daniel Bryan. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. It's got me riveted. Sure, we had the confrontation finally at the pay-per-view, but they're not letting it go. And I don't know about you, but I can't be happier to see these six guys squaring off against each other time and time again. What do you think, Mace?
When will WWE learn that when you have a good thing, you try to space it out instead of, you know, they had a really good match at the pay-per-view. The build-up and everything was brilliant.
Yep.
Now we continued it on Raw a little while later. Okay, now there's talk of extending it through to fucking SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
This thing needs to end at WrestleMania.
Oh, you figure? You don't want to see them drag this out?
No, because then it's going to become Sheamus versus Christian.
Okay, what about you, Omega? Are you in agreement with Mace on this?
I really am.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought it should have ended. I think it should end before Mania and free up their dance cards.
Okay.
You know, if Bray Wyatt's going to get John Cena, then you can't do Shield and Wyatt, you know, correctly at Mania.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And honestly, I was against them doing the rematch on Raw. You know, mm-hmm. they had a match on paper. They had a match at Elimination Chamber that was amazing. Then 2 weeks later, well, can you do it again? Don't give it away.
Okay.
I'm saying it all night. You don't give it a fucking away.
Now, if you guys are creative and the guys in charge of the show come up to you and say, make it work because we want another massive showdown at SummerSlam between these guys, you've got to give them a little something here and there between now and then. How do you do it? How do you keep it fresh?
Let Bray script his own promos a lot more than he already is.
Okay, that's number one. You figure that he's a lot better doing his own promos than just reading off cue cards or whatever.
You realize he has been doing his own promos for like quite a while. You realize this?
Yes, I know.
Secondly, I would actually break the Shield up for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And have the Wyatts be the cause. You know, there's already the dissension in the ranks.
Yeah.
Have Bray be the one that sits there and stirs the pot to the point where they break off and they start getting attacked individually by the Wyatts.
Okay.
Then you have them reunite at SummerSlam to take on the Wyatts. And then you surprisingly enough, you would turn the Shield face.
Well, they're kind of sort of turning the Shield face already, don't you think?
Well, they are supposedly, because once again, Mace does not watch SmackDown, as I say, every week.
Whoa, that's an addendum. It used to be you don't watch SmackDown, period.
Well, I still don't watch SmackDown.
Okay, well, I tried to help out, but never mind. Keep going.
But, yeah, it's one of those things of, if they're going to turn the group face, let it play out over a long term, have the Wyatts be the reason to reunite them at SummerSlam, okay. And have them have individual stories in the meantime.
Okay.
Like, go through the whole breakup deal where they end up infighting and all that stuff, because that's what people have been waiting for. Mm. You know, and then it becomes a redemption storyline. You know, they break up, they have a whole big mess. I hate to equate it to a romance movie or a romance comedy, where you have the big misunderstanding at the end of Act 2.
So and basically...
Act 3 is the big comeback together and happy ending.
Okay, so basically you're describing a chick flick, but for guys.
Otherwise known as a romantic comedy.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you'd do it that way. What about you, Omega? Would you do anything differently, or would you basically follow Mace's lead on this?
I would kind of agree. I would agree with some of it.
Yeah.
See, right now the Shield is breaking down so fast. I don't want that to just get interrupted just so we can repeat that down the line. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's the Wyatts doing it or not. I'd rather see them self-destruct more naturally so they can kind of evolve their own characters based on that.
Okay.
What I'd like to see, since you've already got Bray busy at WrestleMania.
Yep.
You know, okay, let Rowan and Harper go after the tag titles. You know, let them go off and fight the Usos. And have the breakdown of the Shield happen, you know, here in the next couple weeks, so you get the what I would prefer to be the three-way, where you basically just throw the Shield in the ring and just go. You know, have fun, try to kill each other. Because as it is right now, the Shield used to be this very unified thing, but we've seen a lot more personality and a lot more, not just separating themselves out as just, okay, there's infighting now that there never was, but you can start to see distinct areas where the characters now divide from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course we know they're setting Roman Reigns up to be this huge star here in the next few years.
Yeah,
you fed him half the roster at Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see Roman come out of that match at Mania as a fully turned face. Let him go do something else. You know, let him go for, you know, like an Intercontinental Championship. Let him take the U.S. title, you know, off of Dean.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
for God's sake, someone has to at this point.
Okay.
Now, if you want Wyatt's versus Shield again, SummerSlam's a ways off.
Mm-hmm.
Long way off. So give them all things to do at the time. You know, you can have, you know, Dean and Seth reconcile, form a tag team, because we need, you know, the tag division is kind of getting a little, you know, considerably more broken up.
Yeah.
So I don't think you weaken it further by taking the Shield out completely. Maybe change the dynamic, new name. You know, just those two.
Okay.
And let Roman go off and, you know, be the face, start to build up his own singles career, and have something that forces the two back together.
Okay.
You know, where if the, you know, the Wyatts start feuding with, let's say Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns feud. Just mm-hmm. those two. And circumstances kind of force the team back together for kind of one last run. Okay, I know I can beat the Wyatts with you guys. Let's do this just one more time. Take out some mutual enemies.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. Well, it's a little bit different from what I was thinking about for sure. I would keep them together. They've already had their little dissension and, you know, their little hissy fight and their kiss and make up party. And then Friday night, I saw them do something that I was actually talking to Rock about this a few days before it actually happened. All three members of the Shield, you take all three of them and make all three of them one facet of Stone Cold Steve Austin type character, the anti-hero, the you know, anti-corporate guy. And you can make that work. You can give them individual matches. You can give them tag team matches. You can put them in so many different storylines and angles as a subset of the main overarching storyline where it doesn't happen for a month, but out of the blue, the Wyatts come and screw them over. And then it, you know, pisses them off and they want to get revenge, but it goes away again. It just keeps that tension there. It's kind of like, you know, watching Jaws. You never see the shark. When you do see the shark, it's a bigger impact. And then the shark goes away again for another port, you know, half of the movie before you see it again. But the threat is always there. It's always lurking under the surface until finally you have the six guys face off at SummerSlam. Done properly, I think you could make that a very exciting main program between the two. And with the sub angles, with anybody and everybody else, you can make it work and keep it feeling fresh. They did it with DX back during the Attitude Era, and it paid off. They did it with the Hart Foundation, and it paid off. They did it with Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, and it paid off. They were able to do it and keep interest in it simply by not overdosing everybody on it week after week after week, show after show after show, Sheamus versus Christian every single goddamn night you watch WWE programming. But the feeling that I get watching the Wyatts, watching the Shield, it's just you have absolute untold heaps of gold if you handle it correctly. And yeah, sure, eventually you're going to make Roman Reigns the de facto biggest thing to come out of the Shield. It's just going to happen just because of how accepted he already is. I loved what they did Friday night, not helping Kane out after Kane ordered it. That just gave it that feeling. I'd love to see them be the ultimate badass tweeners. What's wrong with that idea?
There's that many tweeners in the company right now, they get lost in the fold.
It's not so much tweeners. It just comes across as people that you really don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
You know, look at what they did with The Miz. In a month, he turned face or heel like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying turn the face every, you know, like 3 or 4 times in a month.
Yeah, but the problem about, you know, trying to keep them as tweeners intentionally is at some point it just comes across as unfocused. Like, I'd like to know a direction for the group. You know, I'd like to know where they're going and am I supposed to be cheering for them or not? Because it's the Shield. You know, they've been very dominant. They've gotten themselves very over. And to just put them in this situation where they could kind of go either way is kind of just confusing the point at, you know. Yeah, I'd rather have something where at this point in their careers, you know, you don't put them in a position where, you know, take them or leave them. They've earned better than that.
Well, not to piss you guys off collectively or individually or anything like that, but I am going to point out on more than one occasion, we have all bitched and complained about WWE breaking up a good team. They're guilty of doing that all the time. And now here we are. We've got three guys that are absolute, just like they basically tear the house down when their music plays because they are that over collectively. And you're saying get rid of them, break them up.
They've had a great run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not taking anything of that away from them, but at this point, they've done so much with the Shield in such a short time that I'm completely satisfied with the run they've had, and I don't. You know, I would not mind seeing them, you know, finally go their separate ways.
Okay.
You know, I think it's time. I mean, you've got Roman Reigns, who the crowd is getting behind, who is obviously the rising star of the batch. Like I said, you've got Dean and Seth showing a lot more personality and distinction from the group that normally wasn't there when they started out. It just feels like it's the right time.
Okay.
Yeah, like the group has pretty much done everything they can outside of having the guys win, you know, the world title.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had the tag belts. They're, you know, you got Dean who still holds the US belt without defending it for some god unknown reason.
Yeah, I do have an issue with that.
so do I, but, yeah. Basically, you know, as a group, they have been the most dominant faction in that company for well over a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, it sort of seems that breaking them up is the logical step because you want to see these guys grow and evolve. You want to see them start to take on their singles career and see how they go as individual characters and if they can start moving up into higher spots in the company.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Plus, at the same time, you're not losing a great faction role because you still have the Wyatts there as the now, you know, the growing popularity of that faction.
Yeah.
So it just basically comes to either, you know, it's very simple: evolve or die. These guys need to evolve their own characters, or else they're going to get stagnant, and people are going to start turning on them.
Well, it's just me personally not thinking that they're quite there yet. But the saving grace for me, in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned, with your setup and your scenario, is bringing them together for, you know, I don't know, call it old time's sake, which is kind of weird to say after only a year. But, you know,
a year of wrestling terms, Tim, is like a fucking lifetime.
Yes, I know. But still, that for me would be the saving grace of your scenario. I just don't want to see him broken up just yet. I think there's a lot more money to be made with the six of them for a little while. And you don't have to keep putting them in matches every single week against each other or anything like that. But, you know, that's just me, and that's all good. We've got different ideas, and that's one thing that is wonderful about making the world go around, having different ideas that you can discuss and stuff. But I think we need to take another break, because we talked about that a little bit longer than we had actually planned on doing so. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Worth Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more coming up, including the Great Debate right on the other side of this quick little timeout. We'll be back right after this.
Celebrating 10 years of WrestleTalk Radio.
Now, what did you buy with Ted DiBiase's money?
Man, you know what? Probably a fucking Ghost Rider comic book. I don't know. That was a long time ago. You know, I'm surprised I didn't, like, frame it and stick it on a wall or something, because I'm a collector and I do stupid... I hold on to, like, stupid shit like that. But yeah, at that time in my life, most likely, probably went to comic books.
Tune in to the live special Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimp.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world, Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a
fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then. What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's a horseshoe, Rob. That's a horseshoe. Not the pelvic thrust.
What, Mr. Sulu in the sky?
Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't hurt you.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Oh, I hate that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with a worse song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the guy, the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
What up, Matt?
Oh, yeah!
Celebrating 10 years of Wrestle Talk Radio.
Now, live via modern telephone technology, the one, the only Macho Man. Hey, Mach, how you doing?
I get going, Timmy. Nine, I just wanted to see. I don't know what Clemens is talking about me being underused, dude. I was like the biggest selling high point in DNA history. And they kicked me out because they didn't want to make me the champion.
Well, dude, you were there for like 30 seconds and they figured that was too much. What's up with that?
Go fuck yourself.
But that's a term of endearment.
Tune into the live special, Sunday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Brian Danielson, the ROH World Champion and best wrestler in the world. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The next one, then I'm gonna kill you. Don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Stop, no! I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Stop, cause you're the next one, then I'm gonna kill you. Don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Stop, no! I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Stop bringing the minute inside you. Stop making some more of the high you.
And welcome back to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And at this point in time, it's time to talk about that big-ass statue. We're talking about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Now, guys, do you see this as a good idea, or is it just a dumb gimmick match by the WWE?
I see it as something decent. But I believe it's the 20th anniversary of the death of Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to have a little memorial to a guy like that. The only thing I was a bit confused about is why a battle royal, because to my knowledge, he never really competed in one. Like, I'm sure he probably did at some point, like in a random one, but he wasn't around for the Royal Rumble days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm quite happy.
Okay, what about you, Omega?
Well, I'll tell you why it's a battle royal. It's because they usually have some kind of battle royal just so all the guys who didn't get a real feud leading into Mania get some kind of payday. No, they get to be on the card. It might be a dark match that they only show highlights of, but hey, you competed at WrestleMania. You can put that on your resume now.
There you go. Yeah, like that's going to matter.
Yeah. This lends more credence to it. You know, okay. Now there's a point to it. Now there is something a little bit more to be proud of. You know, it's just, oh, well, you know, I get put into the, you know, the match for everyone who doesn't have anything to do tonight.
Yeah.
You know, now it's, okay, now you got guys saying, okay, I'm going to be in this battle royal and I'm going to win. And, you know, they actually seem to take pride in competing in it, which adds credibility to something that is normally just, you know, just a, kind of a throwaway to fill time.
Okay. Well, I like it because it's a battle royal. And it's no secret that the over-the-top battle royal is one of my favorite matches of all time. And there you go. Mr. Statistician informs us he was in the 1989 Royal Rumble. So there you go. Andre the Giant was.
He entered number three, eliminated Smash, Ron Garvin, and Jake Roberts before eliminating himself.
There you go. So, but yeah, it's Battle Royale is one of my favorite matches. The fact that they're actually doing an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale, I think, is not a bad idea. And the winner of the Battle Royale gets a trophy, you know, the little golden Andre the Giant that they can put on the bookshelf. Now, would you do this as just a one-time thing, or would you, if it was well received, would you do it every year from now on?
I don't know if you'd do it from every year, because there is something a little bit more special about doing it for, you know, the 30th, you know, WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Nah. I think you keep this a one-time thing, especially since it's Hulk Hogan announcing it.
Okay. What about you, Mace?
I like the idea of tributes to some of the greats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what form it takes, if it's an actual event, you know, that's great. If it's, you know, an award, that's great. You know, hell, if it's just a video package, I'm happy. But, you know, I'm just happy there's some sort of tribute. And they make something that would have been, you know, just a little throwaway on the pre-show into trying to mean something, which is always good.
Mm-hmm. Me, personally, because it's a battle royal, I'd like to see him do it every year. Because somebody's going to win a trophy, I'd like to see that continued. If it's well-received and done well, I'd like to see him continue doing it. And, you know, as far as the fact, you know, it's 20th anniversary, for Andre, and, you're doing something to, you know, memorialize him, is, in my opinion, just a really good thing. But, well, I guess we'll see what happens. Who do you think should win the trophy? Like, who's going to be in the Battle Royal altogether, and who should win the trophy?
Iron Sheik.
Oh, come on. It took him how long to get down to the ring for the fucking last one? If Sheiky's in this, he's got to start walking now.
What do you mean start walking? He's still in that ring. He's waiting.
Yeah, I would prefer this not to be a gimmick battle royale like that. You bring back old-timers.
Oh, you got to have a couple of old-timers.
Well, it depends on how old.
You can always use Slaughter and stuff like that.
Yeah, but not Sting.
Sting.
Not
really?
Sheik.
Not Sheik.
This is what I get for reading notes while I'm talking at the same time. Not Iron Sheik. It's like what May said. How long did it take him to get down to the ring?
We're getting him out of the ring was the problem.
All right, Mace, that was overboard. That was just terrible.
Move on.
Was bad what you put in chat.
For the listeners at home, me and Mace might be going to hell.
Yeah, maybe, possibly.
Like we already have one fucking summer house down there.
I am an angel, sir.
Liar.
Which one of you two is going to run the lemonade stand? That's what
This is the thing, like, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of competitors for this. Like, I know there's a short list floating around, but until you sort of really see a full set of 30, it's going to be hard to sort of say who should win.
Yeah, this is true. Who would you...
Personally, and only because it would make an amazing in-joke, get the Big Show to win it.
You know, you just exactly went where I've been all weekend with this.
Yeah. Exactly where
I
my
was
head's been.
Going to ask you guys, how cheesy would it be to have Big Show win the fucking trophy?
It would be hilarious. It'd be cheesy, but it'd be funny. Especially
yeah,
because I could just hear JBL breaking out the Son of Andre reference from WCW.
I can hear JBL breaking character with the win. But there are two different types of cheesy, let's face it. And having Big Show win the trophy would be the right kind of cheesy. Would it be cheesy? Fuck yes. Would it be good cheesy? Absolutely. So he would be my pick if he's entered into the battle royal.
Also, it might be the first battle royal where the guy who shouldn't be able to get tossed over the top rope actually wins.
Yeah, for a change.
And it would be nice to see the Big Show actually win a battle royal after being the guy who usually comes second in quite a few of them.
Yeah, for a change.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that would be kind of cool. So, looking forward to seeing that take place. Apparently, Buff Bagwell is changing his name, if he hasn't already, to Deuce Bigelow.
I just got to say whore, but okay.
Well, Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
Yes, Tim.
Yes.
Rob Schneider.
Yes.
I try
yes.
not to think of him.
Yes, I know. And I'm doing everything I can to make sure that he's planted in your brain so you have nightmares tonight. Sorry. Anyway.
Omega's already got plenty of nightmare fuel. He's seen the new Turtles for the Michael Bay movie.
Oh, he has.
God.
Is this a bad thing?
Raphael looks like a green caveman.
I heard they have lips. Is that true?
I didn't look at them that closely.
Anyway, Buff Bagwell is basically for hire, and you can have his company for 2 hours for a whopping $800. And there's the music in the background. $1,550 is 4 hours, $3,000 for an overnight quote-unquote visit. Hey, $8,000 for a whole weekend. You want to spend a whole week with Buff? $25,000.
It was hard enough trying to listen to him for 20 minutes when we had that other show on Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Why would anyone want to put up with that for hours?
Man. I just can't imagine. Just all the bad jokes concerning Judy Bagwell are running through my head, and I'm not going to mention one bad joke about it, and just let you guys make up all your own.
How about we get the God? Let's get Godfather plus, like, with Buff Bagwell and Sonny selling lingerie photos of herself in bed with fans, and just set up like a pro wrestling prostitution ring.
How the mighty have fallen, hey?
Now you have to ask the real question of the day. Does the top hat cost extra?
There you go, with or without the hat.
Do I have okay. to pay for the machine gun pyro?
Oh, God. All right, so you figure it's $800 for 2 hours with Buff Bagwell. Let's take a look at a couple of current WWE stars. What do you figure they should charge for 2 hours of their time? what would you figure would be a good going rate for Dean Ambrose?
You are
asking the wrong host on this network.
Where's Lindsay when you need her?
It's Dean Ambrose. He's a cheap slut, so he's probably very cheap. He gets around.
If Lindsay was here, we could ask her about Kane.
Kane is probably high priced.
He's high priced, but he also comes with insurance.
Yes, yes, he does. Jacob's agencytn.com.
I so want to have fire insurance sold to me by Kane.
Not dental?
I really do.
Just for shits and giggles, and I know it's going to piss him off. Mace, Brie Bella, 2 hours.
25 cents.
Okay.
So you put up with her for 2 hours.
Omega, Tamina Snuka.
Does it cover the hospital bills?
Afterwards? No. You're on your own.
Ah, shit. I don't know. 500, second generation. Worth something.
So $500 for Tamina Snuka to splash you. Got it.
Okay, there you go. And I hate Rock for this one, but Nicole Bass.
Oh, God.
And I hate Rock for this one.
That's what happens when you pitch ideas with me. Go wrong. Apparently, there is no price for her.
Wow, freebies. She can't even give it away.
Well, Tim, how much would you pay to spend a night with Nicole Bass?
Dude,
can we all spell Venus? Because that happened once.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if that was the choice, I'd pay not to.
Right. And that's why I thought of Nicole Bass, because Val was on an older episode of Raw that I watched the night prior to talking to Tim about the conversation.
Yeah.
Rock
saw that exact same episode.
It was an awesome episode, The Black Wedding. It was tremendous.
I saw the pay-per-view where they recapped that entire storyline between Nicole Bass and Val Venus.
No.
I can't remember what one it was. It was just something I threw on random, thanks to the WWE Network.
Yeah. 2 hours with Emma. Rock.
Don't ask me, ask Mace.
No, because I already did Brie Bella for Mace. I can't be that mean.
Bad. 250? That works. I have no problem with Emma, unlike the other host.
Okay, Omega, Stacy Keibler.
Ooh. Here's the thing. She's been with George Clooney.
Yeah, so indirectly, you too could be with George Clooney.
Oh, good. Because I've always wanted to indirectly fuck Batman.
Bad Batman.
Bad Batman. Rubber nipple Batman.
Oh my God, whose idea was that?
Schumacher.
Idiot. Was Schumacher, Joel?
Yeah.
Because I can never remember the name of the other one. Anyway.
It doesn't matter. It's not Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, I think we just, like, tuned everybody up enough with this one. Why don't we just talk about Sting and Taker? Do you see these two guys ever in a match against each other?
The funny thing is, if you asked me a couple of years ago, I'd say no, but I've actually kind of turned the corner on that.
Okay. Now, do you want to see them in a match?
The hard part is, as a kid, my dream match was always Sting and Shawn Michaels, because that's your icon and icon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy who never left WCW, the guy who never left WWE. Well, guess what? We're going to ignore the mean, you know, the mean mark phase of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And just say that The Undertaker is always WWE. No matter what name. Yeah, no matter what name.
Okay. The wrestler is like, and the character.
Yeah. You're Mark Calloway.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason, these two, you know, if they really had to pull something out of their tank, they can.
Mm-hmm.
And it is this perfect little opportunity and this little nugget of the old WCW versus WWF that can still happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the missing piece of the invasion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I kind of want to see it. It's not going to be one of Taker's greatest WrestleMania matches, but you know what? Yeah, the scary thing is, I think it might actually work.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this idea, Mace?
Again, it's one of those things of, as a fan, I see the marquee drawing aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a match that a lot of people want to see, because, especially when Sting got into the Crow gimmick, there was the big comparison between him and The Undertaker.
Yep.
So, people want to see it, but at the same time, The former pro wrestler in me is going, no, God, no.
Mm-hmm.
Because Taker's slowing down. He's more machine now than man. And
Twisted
Sting,
and evil.
Darth Taker.
Dude, that would be fucking awesome.
I told you there was some geek in me.
He's been on the dark side for years now. He's on the dark side now.
There you go.
Yeah. And then you've got Sting, who, let's face it, during his run in TNA, wasn't exactly the guy with a lot of juice going in the gas tank.
No,
he was getting winded a lot. He was really not moving as well as he used to. He's put on a fair bit of weight.
But
you know, it's
TNA,
both good. Yeah, at the same time, it's TNA. He did get to, you know, Hardy in 13 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say, Hardy's the only one juiced in that company.
Just watching Sting in TNA is like he was going through the motions to pick up a paycheck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Like, believe me, I could see if Sting does go up against The Undertaker, I'd see him training his ass off for this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's the type of guy who still has that old school mentality of, you will work your ass off if you really want it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm just wondering how both men's bodies are going to hold up in a match where they're going to be fighting so many years of hype that they're going to have to pull out every single stop and then some in both of their arsenals.
Yeah.
To turn it into a great match that everybody wants to see.
But at the same time, on the same token, everybody you would figure with, you know, the odd exception, one or two people. Pretty much everybody realizes that these guys are pretty much old-timers now in the business. Don't you think that the majority of fans would know what to expect and don't expect Taker Michaels 2?
No.
No.
Here's the thing. Since Taker Michaels,
yeah,
people have still been setting an extremely high bar for The Undertaker every year.
Does that make sense? Who's Taker fought since Michaels?
Triple H and CM Punk.
CM Punk. Yeah.
Triple H twice, CM Punk once. Now, out of those three matches, which one actually came close to meeting the bar that you were saying everybody is setting for Taker?
28.
Yeah. The second with Hunter.
In the cell.
Yeah.
So, yeah. At this point in time,
here's the thing. Okay, if we're going to now compare it to Hunter, take a look at Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as much as we give the guy a lot of crap for backstage direction and, you know, his treatment of personnel and everything over the years, if there is one thing you can always give the guy props for,
mm-hmm,
his workout regimen is insane. Like, this guy completely reinvents himself every time he goes into WrestleMania mode. You know, not only does he pack his muscle back on, but he goes into cardio conditioning and everything else under the sun. You know, in the highlight package leading up to 28, they showed his workout and, you know, seeing the guy throw around tires and shit like that.
Yep.
You know, that's the type of level that now opponents are going to need to be to help with the Undertaker's matches.
Yeah.
And frankly, unless Sting really, really pushes himself to that level, he won't be able to even touch those type of matches.
Well, not to denigrate TNA any more than we normally do on this program, but of all of his time in TNA, all of his work in TNA, how many of his matches would you say have actually stacked up to the type of matches that you see from people of his stature in WWE? In other words,
I'm trying to pull up matches with Kurt Angle.
He hasn't really had to
equivalent.
The most recent was with Bully Ray last June, was it? At mm-hmm. Slammiversary, where they went all out. Where he stepped up. Hell, the one he did with Hogan was actually not half bad a couple years ago.
Basically, my point is, he hasn't had to do it night in, night out like the guys in WWE have to do.
No, he doesn't work that type of schedule.
All right, doesn't work that type of schedule, but at the same time, he also hasn't had to face that kind of caliber opponent on any kind of ongoing, continuing basis. Sure, you got Bully Ray, you've got Kurt Angle. You're not going to put three of them in matches with each other ad infinitum for 10 years. It's just not going to happen, right?
But at the same time, in TNA, there isn't anything that compares to the motivation that this provides.
This is true.
Sting has said more than once, if he fights anyone for his last match, he wants The Undertaker.
Yep. As a matter of fact, he had a Q&A in the United Kingdom just recently, and he said he wants to have one last match, and he wants to face Taker for it. And that was just said a couple weeks ago.
No, 2 days ago.
Or 2 days ago. A couple days ago. That's what
Are
I
you
said.
Getting the weeks mixed up again?
A couple days ago.
He's been busy. Give him a break.
The point is, he wants Taker. He's got a year to prepare for it, and he knows, you know, people in WWE know, if something like this is ever going to happen, it needs to start happening now.
Yeah,
you know, the window's almost completely closed at this point. And, you know, if there's a chance that it could turn out, you know, it might be worth it just to put it on the marquee.
Yeah, because let's face it, if they're bringing in Sting, which by the sounds of it they most likely are, it's going to be match with Taker, Hall of Fame induction, dude retires with a Legends contract.
There you go. Now, this this UK presser was pretty revealing, and it leads you to believe that he's got a deal in place with WWE. The rumor has been there for over 2 months now, but there has been no confirmation. There have been denials about Sting signing with WWE. But at this presser, he said that he hasn't watched TNA at all since he left the company, but he has been paying a lot of close attention to Raw. He's been on YouTube doing research by watching Taker versus Shawn Michaels matches.
And thanks for plugging the network.
You know,
he's not all that hip about the network yet. They'll get him in tune in next week.
Yeah, eventually, right? Yeah.
He'll plug it, but, right?
You know, just based on those, just based on some of the things he said, it's like a super strong hint. Now, here's the thing, and talking about this with Brock the other day, can you do the same thing with Sting Taker that you did with Rock Cena and set the match up 1 year in advance?
No.
No. This would be a you started at like Royal Rumble.
Okay.
This would be a 3 month build.
Well, can you set the match up without actually setting the match up?
It's possible, because you set it up with a Hall of Fame induction first.
Mm-hmm. Would you put him in the Hall of Fame this year or wait till next year?
Next year.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah, so if you're going to induct Sting, it's got to revolve around him.
Yeah. Sting's a marquee name. You don't have him as a and featuring like you're going to have with the rest of this year's class.
Where is Taker's match going to be on the card this year? Semi-main?
It's usually the semi-main. It's either semi-main or it's
the third last
co-main or third last. So he's one of the last three matches on the card every year these days.
Before they put Bryan in the title match, sooner or later, if he beats Hunter,
you probably have Bryan, Hunter, Taker, Lesnar. Triple threat.
I bet Brian Hunter will be early, but Taker and Brock probably would have closed. They'll give
Brian time to rest from the match at Triple H.
Oh, I would close the second hour of Mania with Hunter Brian.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Open the show with Hunter Brian.
They might do that. You
they
know.
Could do that, and yeah. I wouldn't have that much of a problem with it either. If that was the curtain jerker for Mania, fuck yeah.
Because then you spend the rest of the night building the main event.
Could you imagine a WrestleMania, especially WrestleMania 30, where Triple H is jobbing in the curtain jerker?
That's a bit of a swallow.
Okay, it's a bit of a stretch, yes. But at the same time, you look at how much of a build potential during the rest of the night, doing something like that would have.
Maybe
instead of having it be the curtain jerker, have it in the first hour.
Well, he's worked the first hour with Taker. That's when they did the sell, right at the end of the first hour.
Well, I'm not arguing it, because just if you say, okay, if you've got a few hours to put it in people's heads, Daniel Bryan is going to compete for the world title at the main event. You're going to have people buying the pay-per-view right in midstream.
Well, they're going to do that no matter where you put the Daniel Bryan to Triple H match, pretty much. But this is one of those big deals you can't put near the end of the show simply because it's too close to the main event.
Daniel Bryan, Triple H. This is really the part of the feud that has been building up for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one. You know, this is why it's booking really well right now, because that's the whole storyline.
It just winds up tying in really nicely, coincidentally. Thanks, Punk.
Yeah. Thanks. Fucking us over and giving us everything we want at the same time somehow.
Yeah. Thanks, Phil. Enjoy your appearances on Talking Dead.
But
he's really changed.
But it's Triple H and Bryan. You know they're going to tear the house down no matter where they are in the card. So if they're going to put him back, if they're going to put Bryan in a second match, yeah, they're going to give him as much time as they can to rest.
Plus, if you open with Hunter and Bryan, you know they're still going to get 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know Hunter still will be involved in the main event. So I don't think he'll care.
Yeah. But could you ask for a hotter open?
No.
Yeah.
Not on this card, though.
But to bring this back around to Sting and Taker.
Yeah.
We were talking about Sting.
Yeah, I know. We got so fucking sidetracked. It was hilarious.
Yeah, that never happens.
If you're going to do Sting and Taker, I reckon you could build a WrestleMania around it.
Yeah.
I reckon this could be your main event.
Okay, yeah. Especially if it's going to be Sting's last match, even though it's not going to be publicly acknowledged until after the match is over.
Oh, you Taker retired another one.
You can put it up. Both men put their careers on the line, and then you have it end in a double count out.
No.
Oh. Yeah, no, you can't do that.
No. The hilarious thing is, if you put a streak versus career, and Shawn Michaels comes out and goes, Sting, no, bad idea.
Can't do that. Don't do it.
Then Shawn Michaels has to ref it.
Oh, shit. Now you have a main event for the ages for WrestleMania 31.
Oh, Jesus.
Seriously. Hey,
that's not put Undertaker, idea. Shawn Michaels, and Sting in the same ring.
It's better than what I was originally scared might actually happen. Batista versus Cena for the World Heavyweight title.
Oh,
I know. That'll be your co-main event.
Now I have a toothache. Thank you. God. But, this match, I want to see it happen. I want to see Sting versus Taker. I get that these guys are, you know, up there. How old is Taker? 49? 50? Sting is 54?
Something like that.
Right? Mm-hmm. I get that they're going to be a couple of steps behind everybody else. I get it's not going to be an epic for the ages. It's still going to be a great freaking match. Partly because it's Sting Taker. Partly because I think both of these guys still, even a year from now, will have what it takes to put on a good piece of entertainment in the ring.
Put them both on DDP yoga. They'll be fine.
See, the thing is, I could see Sting pulling out all the stops, you know, going back into hardcore training and really pushing himself to get himself in shape. You got to remember, he's also of, like, the old school era. You know, if he needs to go back to Muscle Beach, he goes back to Muscle Beach, man. But, you know, he's of the old school mentality. You got to remember, one of his mentors was Ric Flair.
Yep.
Okay. Sting will take the knowledge from that type of era and do what a lot of people do with Taker at the time of the year. You know, 7 or so weeks out, they go to Texas, go to Taker's place or whatever, get a hold of a wrestling ring and work a match for 7 weeks.
Taker has a ring in his home.
Yeah.
Just so that one out. He has a ring in his home.
Not a surprise.
Hey, if I win the lottery, I'm doing the same fucking thing.
The lottery, I'm buying a building and putting a ring in it.
Yeah. but basically, Sting is of the old school mentality. He will go and he will practice a match with Taker until the point where these guys can close their eyes and have the match, and it'll be a fucking 5-star classic.
Yeah.
It all comes down to how badly Sting wants it and what he is willing to do to get himself in shape for it.
Alright, here's a question we don't usually ask. We know Sting wants it. Does Taker?
You know what? Taker's mind for the business, I wouldn't be surprised if he'd be like, yeah, let's do it. It's money.
Well, like, Taker Lesnar match.
It's not like the fact of I'm going to make money. I see this as a big draw for the company. Let's go for it.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, it's not exactly what Taker wants anyway, because the report was Taker wanted Bryan.
Mm-hmm. But Taker's also wanted Brock for a decade.
Well, yeah, the Taker Brock Lesnar match setup had its genesis at the last UFC pay per view that Lesnar fought in and lost.
If they don't bring that up during the hype video at WrestleMania, I am going to be so fucking disappointed.
Oh, fuck. That is absolutely perfect. Just the way he delivered his lines to Brock as Brock was leaving the ring, it just felt old school. Behind, you know, like old school, the curtain was still drawn. You didn't know that wrestling was theater yet.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it, though. Undertaker just kind of just chilling out in the crowd like a normal person.
And then he gets interviewed by, what's his name?
Ariel Helwani.
And right in the middle of the interview, as Brock is going by, Taker says, "You want to do it now?"
Yeah, well, see, Taker's back in full dead man mode. You wouldn't reference that part.
Yeah, it's a shame because I'd love to see them. I'd love to see them take that portion of the interview, and just where Taker goes, you know, "You want to do it?" And Brock looks at him and walks off. Then you just fade out to, like, you know, a couple of years later, and go into, you know, the whole dead man, the contract signing, stabbing with a pen, blah 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 blah. Just preface it a little bit.
You don't even have to air the portion of the video where Taker even says, "Do you want to do it now?" You air the portion where they're just staring at each other as Lesnar's walking away. You slow that right down, show it in slow motion. And that would be even more effective doing it that way.
But we'll see what the video guys come up with, because they're doing really well. But again, we're going back to this year, not what we're looking at in the future with this man named Sting.
But yes. hold on 1 second.
Yeah?
I'm actually very surprised.
It's almost like you're at a loss for words there.
You want to do it?
There was Brock Lesnar right there. What did you just say to him?
Kind of a personal thing. I think maybe he needs to I think he needs to train a little harder.
Are you guys cool?
Personal.
Who are you rooting
for? Personal. Yeah,
that was by the way, nice cut. Yeah, nice cut there, Rock. Who are you rooting?
Who are you rooting for?
Apparently rooting is Australian for "who are you fucking?"
The person he was fucking.
I knew
with.
It.
He's going to say Michelle McCool.
Who's 2 feet away from him.
Yeah, you see, over in North America, that doesn't really mean anything, Mace.
Yeah, I know, but still, what? I find it interesting.
It was funny, because I get it, because I'm Canadian.
I'm not planting anyone. What do you mean?
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for playing, Omega. Okay, WrestleMania 30, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar. They face off. Undertaker's going to win. It's going to be 22-0. Please. There's Taker celebrating in the ring. He looks spent. He looks beat up. Boom. There go the light effects. Boom. There goes the old WCW music. Boom. There's Sting staring him down.
No. I can see.
Raw.
Because then you're just negating the entire match that just happened.
Raw. Do it Raw, not Mania.
Yeah.
You want to do it?
By the way, speaking of music, what the hell would you use? Because here's the thing.
He can't use Metallica.
He can't use Metallica. He can't use the Crow theme that was in WCW because it's so slow and annoying. Can't use Mad Name Sting because that's too easy and cheesy as hell. And he can't use the one he had in TNA because, well, it's TNA.
That's why they have an award-winning music guy named Jim Johnston probably creating something for Sting.
Well, why don't they buy the rights to Metallica for that one special entrance. Like they did with Triple H. And then when the DVD comes out, use some generic bullshit music.
Because as watching WrestleMania 27 tonight, and they put Taker's real music in and not the Johnny Cash theme,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you needed the Johnny Cash theme for Taker's entrance at WrestleMania 27.
It's too bad that they couldn't have put it on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let the award-winning music guy come up with something.
That confuses me, though.
Why that?
Like, you're saying you watch this through the network, yeah, bro?
Yeah.
Okay, so they can't use the Johnny Cash theme yet. Let's go to the ECW 2005 pay-per-view where they still have Enter Sandman.
It's specific to things. It's how it was released or something.
No, okay. Because I remember the DVD version of the ECW pay-per-view had a generic theme for Sandman. Mm-hmm. But the network version uses Enter Sandman.
Right, I think there's loopholes with every song.
There's also the matter of sometimes I'm not sure they're quite paying attention to exactly what source material they're using. Because there's some things from the older days that are taken from the live broadcast, the original footage, and then there's some that are taken from the home video release where a lot of the stuff has been cut out for get it small enough to fit on a tape.
Yeah, it all depends. But again, you really couldn't cut out Enter Sandman, though.
No, that was magical. You had to have that.
Absolutely perfect. So there you go. The consensus is Sting shows up on Raw the night after WrestleMania, and that's perfectly okay. Yeah, let's have Sting and Undertaker have a match. Yeah, don't build it up until Royal Rumble.
I hate to, like I do agree that, you know, in that scenario, yeah, you're going to shit on Brock Lesnar if, you know, Sting calls out Taker at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's WrestleMania 30. If you're going to make a surprise if Sting's just going to show up out of the fuck nowhere, that's, you couldn't ask for a bigger stage.
Yeah.
The place would fucking erupt.
Well, here's the thing, right? Brock Lesnar is going to lose. We know the streak is going to continue. This is a horrible thing to be talking about it this way, but it's just the facts of life. And everybody's okay with that. You got one or two people gonna get interviewed as they walk in. Oh, Lesnar's gonna rip him apart. Taker's day is done. Taker's gonna rest. And you're gonna get five people who are gonna actually believe it. that's fine and dandy. As far as shitting on Brock Lesnar, the guy's already lost. He's done. He's out of the picture. He's over and he's gone with. He's exited stage left.
Yeah.
Taker's there by himself. In the ring, celebrating, getting all of the applause. Why not have Sting show up? Yeah, I know. I get it from what you're talking about, Mace, from that point of view. But at the same time, sometimes you just gotta say, fuck it.
See?
No. Here's the funny thing. I just realized how to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Taker's in the ring. They're doing a little celebration. Heyman comes out.
Okay.
Let me introduce you to the newest Paul Heyman guy.
No.
Okay, but, hear me out. Sting comes out, immediately tells Heyman to go fuck himself.
No. Only he does it in the Christian way.
No.
Yeah, well, like, I don't, all I needed, I just needed you to get into the company. Now that I'm here, I'm after that man. Go away, little Jewish boy.
No.
It's goddamn Sting.
You don't need Heyman.
Why would he need help getting into the WWE?
Because he's not Goldberg. No, wait a minute. That's reversed.
If you want to tease it, just have a crow when the Undertaker's done be up in the rafters. Not Sting, just a crow.
But would people remember that imagery?
You never know.
No, that's just a little bit
It's a little subtle, but at the same time, maybe find a way to work the vulture into it, because both of them use the vulture.
Well, no, you want the vulture or the crow, one or the two, but Sting has to be there.
No. The thing is, you can tease it with promos and little small things until you really need to hit the point home, and you don't do that till about anywhere from 6 to 3 months before the match.
You know what would have been
subtle the fuck out of it, and then when you really need to ramp it up, then you ramp it up with him coming out.
No. You're talking about like as the pay per view starts, have a crow fly through the building or something like that, or whatever. Do some other things that'll hint that people who are smart enough will figure out that it's Sting, but the majority will wonder what the fuck's going on. And then after the match, Sting shows. That's how you ramp it up. Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's sort of like if you're going to use things like a crow and stuff like that, fine, use that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But use it over time as small things. You got to remember, Taker's not going to be around after Mania.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll have a little bit of post Mania and then he'll disappear again.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to find a way to introduce. If you're going to introduce Sting for a year long build, you've got to find a way to do it subtle without Taker being involved. And then once you bring Taker back into the fold, that's when you debut Sting.
But nothing has. No. Nothing says Taker has to be involved. They have to feud for the rest of the year until Mania 31. You have Sting show up at the end of the match. You know, new music playing. You know, stick him in the Raptors with a baseball bat so the imagery is so you get as retro as possible with it. And the next night on Raw, you just say, well, he's just making a statement. This is where he is now, and put him in his new role, whether that's as a general manager or, you know, whatever. You know, whatever you have for Sting, you know, let him play off that until it's time to actually ramp it up. Then you go back to, you know, the debut at Mania, you know, interrupting the Taker's celebration. And then you build the feud up from those moments that you had already seeded.
So the only thing, I don't want to see Sting go into another type of role. Like I don't want to see him in a GM role. I don't want to see him take on anybody else. I want the build to be purely against Taker. Because the second he walks out, everybody knows what's going to happen. They know Sting's here, he's gunning Taker.
Well, don't make him or anything involve him in anything else but WrestleMania 31, and that's the focus. After WrestleMania 31 and he does the job for Taker, make him GM of Raw.
No, because you've got Sting now. Like, last we heard, everything was done but signing on the dotted line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got him, utilize him. Use that name. Use that star power. Build something up, or use him to build up someone else in the company. Make him a mentor. Give him a stable to lead something. You know, get him to elevate the young talent while he is there. Push that star power onto them. Build someone else up. Okay, so, you know, don't talk about him getting physical in the ring. Don't talk about him being in the match. But when it's time, you know, about Royal Rumble season or so, when it's, you know, when you need to start building up for this, yeah, that's going to be the one time the Sting starts talking about getting physical, getting back into the ring, and it's going to be Undertaker. And it's going to be based off of whatever, you know, interruption, debut, whatever thing they do at Mania. You know, it doesn't have, you know, he needs something to do other than just, you know, sit on his hands for 9 months waiting for the appropriate time to start building a feud.
I don't know about that.
See, it's...
They've signed other people they haven't done Sweet Tweet with for, well, you know, like ages. Okay. And then they start building it up 5 or 6 months ahead of schedule.
Here's the thing. You know, we talk about, you know, Mania 28, Triple H, Undertaker 2, or however many it was at that point.
3.
Yeah, at Mania. Not counting all the other dozens.
No, yeah, at Mania 28 was the third one. They just don't like to acknowledge, I think it was, what,
the first 18? One didn't.
Yeah, the first one didn't happen.
It was no first one. We're going to George Lucas this bitch.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we're still like 3 years off from their first match. No, but you play it that way. You play it the way they did with Triple H. Okay, you know, WrestleMania 27, Taker has to get wheeled out. Like, he barely scraped by a victory there. That's seeding. That seeds the rematch at the next WrestleMania. The only part about it is, you don't mention it until it's time to start building up to it again. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Triple H was doing his own thing. And there was nothing wrong with that. And it led up to a great match because there was already this build that had been slowly growing. And now, harvest time. And it paid off really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see what you're getting at. And, like, it's an idea that can real easily be followed, and it can work, but at the same time, I just don't want to... Like, if I was booking, I wouldn't want to use Sting that much. Like, you want to use him extremely sparingly leading up to Mania, because that's your end game. But at the same time, I really don't want to see, you know, Sting going up against Randy Orton, John Cena, Daniel Bryan.
I'm not saying he does. You don't let him do... You put him in a role where he can build up younger talent without actually being in matches with them. You know, make him a mentor. Make him a leader. You know, make him some kind of figurehead. But don't let him be, don't let him in the ring. Don't give him a match. Give him one match. That's Undertaker, WrestleMania 31. And just find something else for him to do that lets you use that star power while you've got him.
WWE 2K15. He can be the spokesman.
There you go. Anyway, this is a really fun discussion.
Give the fans what they want next year.
Yeah.
A WCW versus WWE mode in your game and have Sting be the promo guy for it.
Probably would work. This is a fun discussion. Half the time we're going around in circles. The other half the time we're actually getting some good discussion. But we're running really long, guys. We've got to move on, and it's time to hit the great debate.
Welcome to this week's great debate.
Oh my God! Wait a minute! It's Paul Bearer! It's Paul Bearer! And that's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation! Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
And now we are down to the final 16.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
Only another 8 more months to go.
Exactly. Up first, Kane versus Mankind. Mace.
No.
It's two of Uncle Paul's boys going up against each other. Oh. You go for Kane. Mainly because of the nature of the character and the damage he did upon his debut. Like him ripping off the door of the Hell in a Cell, Taker's shock face, the tombstone, the whole nine yards. Brilliant. Brilliant storytelling without words.
It's one for Kane. Omega.
It's part of me that really wants to go for Mankind because it was such a different character in look and attitude and psychology. But Kane's is a really impactful debut. Yeah, you know, and and Mace is right. It told an entire story, and they didn't have to say a word to do it. I'm gonna give that to Kane.
All right, Tim.
I'm making it unanimous. I mean, yeah, it's they didn't say a goddamn thing. They told an entire novel. I mean, they gave you the complete book without saying two words. But one of the biggest things that put this over top of Mankind was Paul Bearer leading up to Kane's debut.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know that. Oh, next.
Okay,
whatever. Trish Stratus versus Kevin Thorne. Omega.
Every time this comes up, I can't remember Trish Stratus's debut.
She walked out during
Heat.
Tests match on Sunday Night Heat, and then appeared on SmackDown the following week with Albert. Basically, both men won their matches, walked up to Trish, smiled, and walked away with her.
What Omega wants to do.
Oh, no, I want to do more than just smile.
Perv.
Male.
Same thing. Let's face it.
Now, it's Trish Stratus. If you've got a dick, you want to use it on her.
But was her debut better than Kevin Thorne?
Unfortunately, no, because it's just it was a typical valet thing. She's just kind of there.
She was a valet girl.
She was. I mean, it took a long time before Trish actually developed into the diva that she was. You know, I still like Kevin Thorne's debut because it was a sneaky thing to kind of just worm into that little niche of, is this something they're doing just to appease sci-fi or is this an actual thing? And then it became an actual thing. And like, okay, that kind of worked.
All right, one for Kevin Thorne, Mace.
See, I'm just quickly scanning over both of them now, and yeah, I've got to go with Kevin Thorne's on this one. Like Omega said, it's like he didn't know whether this was something being done to appease sci-fi or whether it was, you know, an actual thing. And the added bonus of the fact that it was Kevin Thorne up against the Bump Machine Nunzio. A little Guido really helped, especially with the security guys dragging him out because he didn't want to face the vampire. It really, really sort of put the character as a bloodthirsty, like, fucking creepy guy. The fact that Ariel looking sexy at fucking ringside didn't help either. But yeah. I definitely got to go with Kevin Thorne's because it put in place his gimmick. And like Omega said, it took Trish so many years to sort of develop into her own character. She was just another valet.
So, Tim, are you going to make it a clean sweep, or are you actually going to pick your fellow Canadian?
Oh, no, it's Kevin Florin. I mean, Trish was boring, and she had problems in handling that mic. She was nervous as all shit when she first started talking on the goddamn thing, and that took away from it big time. But what did she do? She showed up, and she was, you know, like you said, the Valley Girl.
There you go. Next week on the show will be Stephanie McMahon versus Mickey James and Big Show versus Dude Love.
Dude Show.
It's next week on The Great Debate.
Yay. Time for quick hits. Do
Let's
it.
Do it.
Do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wildfire.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Alright, we gotta start with the Canadian Tim. If a word in the dictionary were misspelled, how would we actually know?
We'd have you to turn to, smartass.
Why me?
Because you love pointing out typos. And you're not perfect.
Oh, I know.
Oh, hell no.
I'm far from it.
Oh, hell no!
You done now, Tim? You gonna give a real answer?
That was my real answer.
Okay. Alright, Mace, if Fred Flintstone knew that the large order of ribs would tip over his car, why did he order them at the end of every single show?
Because it is a man's prerogative to order the biggest piece of meat on the menu and attempt to eat it. Damn right.
Speaking of which, if you want to book Buff Bagwell for a weekend...
Not that kind of meat, genius.
Oh, meet Sean Stasiak.
It's all about the challenge.
Bacon makes everything better.
Anyway. Oh my god, if cats and dogs didn't actually have fur, would we actually pet them still?
Ew, gross.
There are hairless cats, yes.
How about hairless dogs? Are you a fan of petting hairless dogs?
There are hairless dogs, the Mexican Chihuahua.
They're fuzzy more than anything.
Well, no, in Mexico, they go absolutely bald.
All right, there you go. Tim, if a candle factory burns down, does everyone just stand around and sing happy birthday?
No, because that would be stupid. Liquid wax hurts a lot. It's very painful. Get the fuck out.
All right, there you go. Mace, if the number two pencil is the most popular, why is it still number two?
Because that's the way it's been branded.
But it's the most popular. Shouldn't it be moving up to number one?
No.
Oh.
Initially, the reason for the number two pencil is it's a different shade of... It's surprisingly enough a different shade of gray compared to the other pencils.
Yeah,
shade. Because there are you have gray one pencil, gray two, gray three, and four, and I think it stops at about six or seven. So it's just a different shade of the gray in the gray lead pencil. That's the reason why it is called the number two, because that's where it sits on the scale.
Okay. Thank you.
It just happens to be the one that shows up best on tests, which is why they always tell you carry a number two pencil.
There you go. A follow-up to Tim's question from before a question was asked. How would Tim know if hot wax hurts? Has he been kinky? And he's not responding, so...
Who was that asked to? Me?
You.
Me? Yeah. You can't do follow-ups. You've already asked me my two fucking questions.
This was a follow-up to you.
Tim, you've got... Tim, you've got months of questions to make up for, buddy.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. It's got nothing to do with kinky. When you move a candle, if you're burning a candle on the table, you move the candle after it's been sitting there for a couple hours, and you move it too fast, and it splashes on that little bit of flesh between your finger and your thumb, because that's like where the wax is always going to land if you move it, candle too quickly after it's been burning for a couple hours. Fucking hurts.
There you go. All right, Omega, if you choke a Smurf, what color does it turn?
Purple.
There you go. That's quick hits.
I never understood why that question's so fucking hard.
Never said it was hard.
That's like telling Mr. Spock he's more than free to debate logic till he's green in the face.
Anyway, Tim, wrap it up.
Yeah, and that's another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, don't forget, follow us on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. Like our new Facebook page, Wrestle Talk Radio on Facebook. Check it out. Join in all this other fun, funky stuff. And be prepared for next week. We're supposed to be doing something. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. But, you know, we're supposed to celebrate like 10 years of me doing this goddamn show. Wow. But before then, Monday night, right after Raw, which if you just take the letters, it would spell R-A-W. Think about it. It's the Raw post-show with Sir Rockin' and Lindsay Word. 3 hours worth of Raw in roughly 45 minutes. Unless something interesting happens, like somebody calls in to talk about it.
And then you hijack my show.
And then I hijack your show and get funding for a wrestling show in June.
There you go.
Yeah.
Continue.
Tuesday, what's happening? I'm going over there. Wednesday, what's happening? I'm going somewhere else. Thursday, it's The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
If you haven't already heard it, go back and listen to our interview with Total Diva and WWE Diva.
Natalya!
Sorry,
did I hijack your promo?
Yes, you did.
I did.
Yes, but go back and listen to it. It's awesome. She tells us all about season 2. Coming up this Thursday night, we will have Rob Schomburger, artist extraordinaire, on the program to talk about his WWE paintings and what he's doing at WrestleMania. So tune in, 11 p.m. Eastern for The Rack.
And then, of course, Saturday night around midnight, as sure as close as I can get to it, it's another edition. CB Radio, the wacky, the weird, the unusual, the bizarre. That's right, Subway there.
Subway's on Twitter now, at @XcurseSubway. That's kind of scary.
How did he discover Twitter?
We showed him how to use it.
Why did you show Subway to you, idiot?
We actually taught him how to live tweet on air. It's amazing.
Oh, no.
Go back and listen to CB Radio. Go to cbradio.newzone.com to listen to all 323 episodes we have ever done for that program.
That's a lot of episodes.
It is a lot of episodes. Not as many as 10 years, but it's a lot of episodes.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, once again, everybody, Wrestle Talk Radio, the website will be making its return very soon. Stay tuned to wildtalkradio.com to find out what's going on with wrestletalkradio.com, because we're going to get the goddamn website back up. That being said, I'm done for this week. Mace, shill something.
All right, if you haven't subscribed to WTR Games Garage on YouTube, you should probably go and do that over at youtube.com/user/WTR Games Garage, where I will soon be posting some more games-related content.
Yay.
Follow me on Twitter, at TheMaceThing. Keep an eye out on wildtalkradio.com throughout the week, as I tend to post columns about my thoughts about Raw, Raw thoughts about Raw, which will be coming up sometime after the post-show. Because I don't want to tread on their toes. Pretty much. It's pretty much my random thoughts about Raw as I watch the damn thing.
That's what you should call it.
And hopefully at some point in the near future, Omega and I might actually start playing video games again.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
Yeah, we keep talking about this, but we never actually get around to doing it.
It'll happen one of these days. Speaking of Omega.
Eventually.
Go ahead and plug Omega.
I'm not listening. I'm playing a video game.
Okay, push pause.
There
now
is no
plug.
Pause.
Okay, plug something while you're playing a video game.
Okay. Let's see. As usual, all of my stuff can be found under anything that reads TJ Omega, except for my Facebook page, which is TJ Reviews.
Because somebody ripped off TJ Omega.
Fucking asshole.
Won't give it up.
But it's TJ Omega over TJ Omega over on YouTube, TJ Omega on Twitter, and there's TJOmega.org, where I'm currently holding a sale, getting rid of some of the old toys to feed my crippling Lego addiction.
Oh my god, you're addicted to Denmark.
They make good stuff.
As long as it's Lego.
Buy his crap now at TJOmega.org.
Buy my shit so I can buy shit.
But you gotta be in the U.S.
Josh bought a few, so that's all that matters. That being said, we're done. Everybody,
yeah, Omega does want my money.
There you go.
Omega does want my money. Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
But there's that. That just sounds like something that's not going to work. And
no.
It's like you're being coercive.
No, I don't want Mace's money. I just want to spend it for him.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
By the way, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Now,
there you go. Now we're done. We're out of here. Have a good week, everybody. See you next Sunday night. Bye. Mace, that's racist.
No, that's not.
Why are you buying black people?
Ask
Is that
me.
What happened
He's
to Mike?
Wanted it.
That's what happened to Mike. Hashtag WTR10.
Bye. As in, buy the shirt.
Please.
Send us money. We need to pay for the website.
Please.
And black men.
You scare me.
WildTalkRadio.com.